Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing in our city. Your host and Bible teacher is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel on Staten Island for 30 years. He's also the co-founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. We hope that you will be blessed by today's message. We'd also like to bless you by providing you with a tool to share Christ with your neighbors and friends. We'd like to send you a bundle of 10 evangelistic tracts we use at Calvary Chapel. Included in this bundle are two tracts Pastor Dave has personally written, Good with God and My Winning Choice, which is his personal testimony. The tracts are yours by simply calling us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. When calling, please consider making a donation to God in Our City. We are a listener-supported program. You can also support us by going to calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org, and clicking the donate button where you'll find an option to support this ministry. Your support is greatly appreciated. Now to our broadcast.
Church with broken wings, rise up, church with broken wings, fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace, again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west.
Great singing today. Jay, that's the best some of us in this auditorium have ever sung. We are just glad that we're able to worship God and give Him praise. If you're just joining us by radio, this is a live broadcast of Calvary Chapel. I have a very skeleton crew here just making sure that you get this live. I got Sam and Sharon Autry just making sure of all the adjustments, and I've got Rudy up in the booth. We're all socially distanced from each other, and I'm always socially distant from Jonathan because he speaks to Gallon and I do not, and we're all staying away from each other, but we are here to talk to you, to bring you God's Word, and hopefully to be a tremendous blessing to you. I know that some of you are fearful, some of you are having a difficult time, some of you may be sick, some of you are concerned, and all of us really need encouragement from our God. He is going to get us ultimately through this. If you're looking for today's outline, the outline for the message, you can just go to nycshepherd.com, and download that. If you want to see what we look like, you can follow us at at Calvary Chapel SI on Facebook. If you want to just get our app and be part of what we're doing on a regular basis as the days and weeks and perhaps months go by, just simply text CCSI space app to 77977. CCSI space app to 77977. That'll take you through the steps to follow us, to be part of it, to get download the app, to be a part of all that we're trying to do here. Jay, I'm gonna request a song. I think you can do it. I think people are listening in their living rooms and maybe in their bedrooms. Listen, don't get used to church in your pajamas, okay, folks? That's not the new norm. We still need to come together. But can we sing Shout to the Lord?
Sure.
That's just a beautiful song. I think we'll do that one and another, and then we'll share from the Word of God. But I think that's just a beautiful song to kind of just make sure that our hearts are focused on Him. Jay, take it away, my friend.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the work of Your hands. Forever I love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in You. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, ever cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the word of Your hands. Forever I love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. And nothing compares to the promise I have.
Thank You, Lord, that because of You, Lord, we have hope. Even in these difficult times, Lord, we know, God, that we can look to You, God, because You're not surprised by what's going on in our world today. And yet, Lord, we look to You, Lord. We don't look to the right or to the left. We look up above, Lord, because we know, Lord, that You are the answer, Lord. The answer is not a cure or the pill that will cure the virus, Lord. It's a relationship with You, Jesus. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near. I will fear no evil.
Isn't it great to know that you're not holding on to God, but God is holding on to you? There's going to be moments in the next few weeks that you're just not going to feel right. And that's absolutely okay. But God is never going to let go of you. I'd like to read some scriptures to you today from the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 27th through the 31st verse. First of all, let me just thank Jay. Jay, that was amazing. You know, 20 years ago when Jonathan and I first kind of got together here at Calvary, there was Jonathan, me, and a friend of his who sang. That was the only people on the platform. I didn't sing. And I always said to Jay, Jay, all I really need, you know, besides Jesus, is you singing, and I'm good. And you proved it again today. And I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Make sure you give him a big thank you on Facebook. Yeah. So now, from the book of Isaiah, it's a loud claps here. From the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 27th through the 31st verse, I just want you to hear. It says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Could we together go to prayer right now? If you're in a house with someone and you can, maybe hold hands with them and just pray with me right now. Gracious and loving Father, Lord Jesus, we come right now into your presence. And Lord, we need you. We're not ashamed to admit that. You don't need us, but we need you. And Lord, as we come before you right now, we bring, Lord, our borough of Staten Island. We bring, Lord, our city right now into your presence. And we pray, Lord, that you will be merciful to us. Lord, we pray that you will intervene on our behalf. We pray, Lord, that you will stop this virus in its tracks. We pray, Lord, that you will enable, Lord, people not to die. Grandmas and granddads and moms and dads and kids not to die. We rejoice, God, in our hope in you. But right now, Lord, we're just asking you to intervene in a major way. Give, Lord, our president, our governor, and our mayor wisdom that goes beyond them. Lord, if there is partisanship on any of their parts, may, Lord, they throw it up over the back fence and decide that the most important thing is the people they serve, whom you've chosen them to serve. And Lord, please help our church family. We pray for the safety and protection of our church family, as well as, Lord, our neighbors, our friends, people we don't know, our shop owners. Please, Lord, protect them. Help us all to act responsibly. Help us to remember that you told us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to do to others as we would have them do to us. Lord, if we live in your kingdom, if we're part of your kingdom children, if our citizenship is with you, we should at least live by those rules as we seek to love you with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And please now, Lord, in the moments that we have together, please speak to each of our hearts. Please use the words from your word to encourage and change and touch us. And we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to talk about how big is our God. I was struck this past week as I watched the news conference from the mayor. And the mayor said something quite astounding. He said, "The crisis we're facing right now is beyond the city and the state's ability to handle. And we need the federal government to step in." The mayor was expressing just this incredible need for so many things, and that the only way we were going to get through is if the biggest entity that we know, the federal government, would step in. I appreciate the mayor's humility in saying that, but I think we need to understand that even the federal government is not big enough to solve the problems that we are going through right now. Even the federal government. We need someone bigger. So how big is our God? He's big enough to deal with what we have to deal with. He alone is big enough. But a lot of times, we struggle, at least I do, with a God that I have made who's much, 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 much too small. And today I want us to look at how big God is and how God can bring us through something even as difficult as this. When I was growing up in Western Massachusetts, my sister was dating a Marine. guy who just gotten out of the Marines. He was rough. He was tough. He was strong. When you looked at him, you cringed a little bit. Ripped. His name is Stanley. They're married now and have three kids. And lots of grandkids. I can remember one of my encounters with some of my friends. They were giving me a hard time. And I grew up in a bit of a rough neck of the woods. I wasn't the other side of the tracks, but I was up against the tracks. And they were threatening to beat me up. And I said, you know, if you guys mess with me, I'm going to tell Stan. They knew who he was. They knew he was a Marine. And they said, no, you know what? We're okay with you. No, everything's all right. You misunderstood us. I'll tell Stan. They were afraid because I had someone big on my side. Please understand today, we have someone very big on our side. Our God. Our God. A bit of context today. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. The people of God are facing a big foe. Their enemy is the Assyrians. In 722 BC, in fact, the Assyrians had taken the northern kingdom and of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and scattered them throughout the Assyrian Empire. And they were afraid of the Assyrians because the Assyrians could destroy them. They were incredibly anxious. Today, we are incredibly anxious. And it's very important that we listen to the words of Isaiah designed to help us to deal with our anxiety in the middle of our storm, in the middle of this virus. Please see the perception here. Isaiah 40:27 reads, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God?" Frankly, this is the people of God complaining. The people of God are complaining because of their circumstances. And they're yelling out to God. Now, can we all be honest today? The people of God can do some serious complaining. And right now, we may even be saying to ourselves, God, why are you letting this happen? We may even be saying, what is up with you, O God? Paul reminds the Philippians, in fact, that they are to do all things without grumbling or disputing. Why does Paul have to say that? Because God's people like to grumble and they like to dispute. They like to say, God, you didn't give me the right break. That's been going on ever since God called his people. Goes on today. I'm not rebuking you today. I have the same problem. God, why is this going wrong? Why is this not easier? I serve you. And that's what God's people were saying. Here's their complaint. God is unaware of the difficulty of my circumstances. My way is hidden from the Lord, they said. It's concealed like the secret things of God described in Deuteronomy 29:29. God, you don't even see what's going on with me. You're unaware of how difficult this is. Surely. Number two, God is unconcerned about my rights. He says here, my right is disregarded by my God. He's talking here about the legal rights. He's saying, God, you don't even give me the legal rights I'm supposed to have. Those are gone. I guess they thought of what the Assyrians would do to them, how the Assyrians would march them nearly naked into their captivity. And they'd seen them do that with other nations. And they said, God, aren't you worried about like just our basic human rights? Don't you care? This can be our perception, because that's what we're talking about here, regarding our God in the midst of this crisis. God, do you not know? Do you not understand how fearful I am today? Do you not know? Do you not give a rip that this is going to be incredibly inconvenient, and Lord, worse than inconvenient, it's going to be horrible for some of us? Lord, what's wrong with you? We perceive that God is uncaring and that God is not there. That God is not there. The Lord then gives Isaiah this amazing perspective. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Have you not known? Have you not heard? These are rhetorical statements. Of course they have. God has an amazing history with his people. Here's the truth, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God has never let one of us down. If God lets you and me down, we will be the first. We will have made history. God doesn't let his people down. We can complain. We can say, God, you don't do it the way I want you to do it. But the truth is, God has an amazing history with us. When we come to faith in Christ, he saves us. He forgives us of not some of our sin, but how much of our sin? All of it. Through our Christian experience, as we walk, as we fail, as we falter, he is always there to pick us up. He answers prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. But Pastor, not the way I want it. That's okay. He's God, you're not. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? God has been there for you and I always. Always. Their complaint is answered by this perspective. Number one, of who God is. The Lord is the everlasting God. I'm going to teach you a little Hebrew today. I know a little Hebrew, a little Greek. My Hebrew friend runs a clothing store. My Greek guy, a great diner. El Olam is the Hebrew word, the eternal, never-changing God. He is immortal. Now, we've had a lot of cartoons and movies made about the immortals. There is only one who is immortal, God. I've written this down, and I want to say it exactly so I don't mess it up. Eternity is a long time. I think you would agree with that, right? So that when we say that God is forever or eternal, it can conjure up in our mind an image of a very, very old man, perhaps even a wise old man. Anyway, being around for eternity must at least be really old looking, right? In truth, the eternality of God has just the opposite connotation. Time has no effect on God. He is timeless. He is the same age as he's always been and always will be. How old is God? God is forever. That's how old. He is immortal. Moses, that great servant of the Lord, was about to die. He had invested 80 years of his life almost in the people of God. It had been hard. He was about to die, and he was concerned about them in the next generation, and in the next generation, and in the next generation, and in the next generation. He was concerned about them going forward. Listen to the words, though, that he pens under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your dwelling place. And underneath are the what? Everlasting arms. The God who took care of Israel, taking them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, to the promised land, is the same God who takes care of us. The God who took care of the first church in the middle of its persecution, who allowed the church to thrive and to go forward, is the same God who's taking care of us. Isaiah 40 verse 8 reminds us also, not only is God eternal, the grass withers, the flower fades, but right here in this same chapter, the word of our God will stand for however long, how long? Forever. God is eternal, and I can count on his word when? Forever. Even in the middle of the worst crisis we may ever face. And then it says, he's the creator of the ends of the earth. God is the maker of how many things? All things. He makes them literally out of nothing. He is omnipotent. He is omnipotent. He made it all just like that. He said, let there be light. There was light. He said, whatever. It was there. He created it all out of nothing. And then it says, he does not faint or grow weary. He is unchanging. The fancy word for that is he's immutable. If you want the simpler word, he's unchanging. I can count on God. He's omnipotent. He can do anything, but he's also unchanging. Again, I wrote this down. Unlike us, God never changes. He is always and forever the same. This may trouble some of us because we think of the concept of change as good. That's because we need to change, to adapt to our circumstances and to become better people. God is perfect already in every way, shape, and form, and doesn't need to improve in any area. Here's the problem with me, is if I tell you something now, like Jay, if I told you I was going to give you $50, sure, amen. 6 months from now, my financial situation may have changed, and I wouldn't have $50 to give Jay. And I'd have to say, Jay, I want to say this in all sincerity. Tough luck. I don't have the money. God never changes. So if I don't have, if I ask God for something now, God doesn't say later, I'm out of it. God, I need your peace. I'd really like to give you peace, Dave, but guess what? I gave my last bit of peace to Sam. God, I need some mercy today. I'm sorry, all out of mercy. Rudy took all the mercy I had. He never changes. He has what we need, and he has it in abundance, and it doesn't run out. And now, also I want you to note that God is or has an understanding that's unsearchable. There is no stopping his understanding. He is omniscient. God knows not just a little bit, he knows completely. Isaiah 40, 13 and 14. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? What taught him? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Our president, our governor, our mayor are all consulting with individuals, with experts in fields, and I hope that they do that over and over and over again. We need the best minds, but you know what? God already understands it completely. Completely. Fully, all together. So God is big. How big is our God? He's immortal. He is omnipotent. He is immutable. He does not change. And he's omniscient. He knows it all. As I thought about this and as I went through this chapter, I saw some amazing things about God and how big he is. Isaiah 40 verse 12 says about God, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. If you just take your hand right now and you kind of cup it, maybe you've got little hands, maybe you've got big hands, it doesn't matter. It says here that God is so big. It's trying to give us a thought of the greatness of God. He holds the oceans in the hollow of his hand. If you take your hand right now and you stretch it out, from the tip of your finger, pinky, to the tip of your thumb, that's a span. God holds the universe in that. How many gallons of water in all the oceans? 352 quintillion gallons of water. We've left millions, we've left billions, we've left trillions. We're in the quintillion range. How wide is the universe? 93 billion light years. That means to go across the universe takes light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, 93 billion years to go. How big is God? big enough. Your problems, my problems, are nothing compared to who God is and how big He is. Isaiah 40, 15 through 17 says, "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are counted as the dust on the scales. Behold, He takes up the coastland like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor its beast enough for burnt offerings. All the nations are as nothing before Him. They are counted by Him as less than nothing and emptiness." The thought there of Lebanon is if you were wanting to offer sacrifices to God, you could take all the cedars of Lebanon, and there wouldn't be enough wood. And all the sheep, and it wouldn't be enough for a sacrifice. Why? Because God is that big. He will say a little bit later, "Do you not know? Do you not hear? Hasn't that been told from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like what? Grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness." Isaiah 40, 26, "Lift up your eyes on the high and see who created these. He brings out their hosts by name," that's the stars, "calling them all by name." He brings out the hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. He sets forth the stars in their constellation by name, and He doesn't lose any of them. You think He's going to lose you? How big is the Assyrian army compared to the God the Israelites had? It's puny. It's puny. How big are our problems compared to the God we serve? They're puny. They're puny. How big is our God? Big enough. And He imparts. He doesn't keep His bigness just for Himself. What does God do? He gives power to the faint. He gives muscular power to those who are weary. And beyond that, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. The one who has no energy, He multiplies their potency. He gives us what we need to do what we've got to do. If you listen to this broadcast over and over again over the next 8 weeks, sometimes I'll sound like a broken record because I'm going to say this over and over again. My brothers and sisters, we are in a marathon, not a sprint. We will not wake up tomorrow and everything be cool. We're going to have to walk through this. We're going to have to run through this. And it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. So we need to get our strength from someone other than ourselves. In this text, there's a promise. There's a negative aspect to it and a positive aspect to it. It is a promise nonetheless. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 31, lay out for us this amazing promise. It says, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for their God shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Please see the negative promise here. We love the promises of God, right? Here's the negative promise of God. The youths, that's probably a young man or a teenager, shall faint, be physically exhausted, and be weary, be in need of a state of rest. Maybe it has in view here their mental exhaustion. The young teenager, that young buck who goes, "You know what? Psh, I'm good. I know times are tough, but I've got my vitality." And then it says, the young men, this is adult young men, slightly different Hebrew word, shall fall exhausted. They'll stumble from exhaustion. Now, who are the go-to people when things get tough. If you're going to have an army, who do you get? The young people. If you're going to have firemen and cops and EMS workers, who are you looking for? The young people. What's the promise here? The promise here is things can get so rough that even the young people falter. When I first preached from this text years ago, I was one of those young people. Hey, Jay. Well, the people you expect to be the strongest will not make it. They'll be exhausted. God, on the other hand, is never exhausted. But the people you think who have the most in the tank, their tank will be what? Empty. Positively, but they, a different group from the teen and young adults, the young men, but they. Note also here, there's a crowd who miniaturize God into a creatable idol. If you're going to make it today, you can't have a God that fits in your hand. You can't have a God that you made. You've got to have the God who is. Isaiah 40, 18 through 20. Again, everything I'm saying is from Isaiah 40 today. It says, to whom shall you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? As soon as I try to make God like me, I got a problem. It says, an idol, a craftsman cast it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for its silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. There's the two pictures here of a wooden idol or a gold idol. Either way, it fails because it's not God. We don't want to be people who are caught up with a God, who have a God who is too small. But they who wait for God, the Hebrew word kawah, to wait for, to hope in, to look forward in, to have my confidence in. We are those hoping in the Lord and not putting our confidence in self or others or watch, even government. Vain is the help of man. Our hope is where? The Lord. What is waiting on God? The basic meaning of waiting on God is to look in faith to God to intervene on our behalf. It is the outworking of my hope. G. Campbell Morgan, the great Bible scholar, said, waiting for God's not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for a new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Psalm 62, 5 and 6 says this way, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. I hope that you have friends that are there for you in the middle of all this. I hope you have family that you can rely upon. But in reality, the only one who gives us a great hope that we can count on is the immortal, omniscient, immutable, omnipotent God. How big is our God? Big enough. We wait for God, or we wait on the Lord for salvation. Psalm 25, verse 5 says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my what? Salvation. For you I wait all the day long. We wait for the Lord for mercy. Psalm 123, verse 2, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hands of their master, as the eyes of the maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has what? Mercy upon us. We wait on the Lord for provision. He's the one who takes care of us. Psalm 145, verse 15 and 16, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. I predict that during this time that we're having right now, the words, give us this day our daily bread, will have a greater meaning to each of us. We wait on the Lord for protection. Psalm 59, verse 9, oh, my strength, I will watch for you. Watch as that idea wait. Oh God, are my fortress. Oh my strength, I will watch for you, oh God, are my fortress. And we wait on the Lord for courage. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Our text says, those that wait upon the Lord, or wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. Literally, they'll be caused to be new. They'll have new ability and new power that comes from someone other than themselves. And then they shall mount up with wings like what? Eagles. There's going to be a time in the next few weeks where you're going to need to fly above your circumstances, or you're going to fly off the handle. How is that going to happen? You're going to have to wait upon the Lord. They shall what? Run and not be weary. They shall persevere in the race to the end. What did I tell you? This is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Say, Pastor, I've not been trained for a marathon. I understand. Wait on the Lord. And they shall walk and not faint. They will go the distance. But who is that going to be true of? Those that what? Wait on the Lord. Not those who listen to the news every day, pay careful attention to everything, but those that what? Wait on the Lord. Not those who have stored up enough toilet paper to last until the end of the millennium, but those that what? Wait on the Lord. Not those who are the youngest and the strongest among us and the smartest among us. No. Those that what? Wait on the Lord. Sam's favorite commentator is Warren Wiersbe, and I wanted to see what Warren Wiersbe said on this, and I found it powerful. He says, as we wait before him, God enables us to soar when there is a crisis, to run when the challenges are many, and to walk faithfully in the day-by-day demands of life. It is much harder to walk in the ordinary pressures of life than to fly like an eagle in a time of crisis. Now, it's interesting to me. When Isaiah wrote this, God was anticipating the Babylonian captivity for the children of Israel. I say captivity, I'm sorry, did I mean the Babylonian quarantine? This would be true of them even when they would be in captivity, quarantined in Babylon for 70 years. They would have to wait on the Lord in the middle of all that to not be weary and to not faint. Proverbs says something amazing. I can't remember what verse in Proverbs, but it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength indeed is small. Right? Amen. We are in the middle of the day of adversity, and we don't have enough strength. We need His strength. But those expecting Yahweh pass to power. They raise up the pinion as eagles. They run and are not fatigued. They go on and do not faint, says the literal standard version. William MacDonald, in his commentary, said it this way: if any of the people of Judah discouraged and wonder if God still cares for them, let them realize that those who wait on the Lord are assured of renewed strength. It is absurd to think He cares less for His people than for the stars which He guides so unerringly. But God will furnish your strength, whatever your condition. If you need strength to fly, He has that for you also. This is a wonderful chapter revealing the comfort of God, our Creator, our Savior, our Sustainer. So, as I bring this to a close, and Jay's going to sing a song for us, taking us out. I think they're concerned that we're not sounding well through the house. So, what's this to me? How do I apply this text to myself? How is it that I can wait on the Lord, this big God we speak about right now? How is it I can wait on Him? Well, I want to suggest, I'll call it the three R's of waiting on the Lord. The three R's of waiting on the Lord. They're very simple. Remember how big God is. How are you going to remember how big God is? You're going to need to read Isaiah chapter 40. Because your circumstances and my circumstances, they're going to get big. And we're going to think our circumstances are bigger than our God. And what we need to do is to focus in on who He is. And the only way that's going to happen is if we read Isaiah 40 and similar passages about the greatness of our God. Number two, rehearse with song and scripture. Say it over and over again. Sing how great is our God. Continually think about how great our God is. Put that on your playlist, songs that emphasize that, scriptures that emphasize that. And over and over and over and over again, rehearse them. And then rely. Put yourself, put your family in the hands of Almighty God. Now, here's how this is going to work. You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to put yourselves in the hands of God, and about 9:30, you're going to watch the news, and you're going to feel like you have to put yourself in God's hands again. Around noon, you're going to feel like the situation is so overwhelming. And you're going to need to read Isaiah 40 again, and you're going to need to say, you know what, my God's big. How big is my God? Big enough. Around dinner time, you're going to sit there and you're going to begin to feel it ebbing and flowing and your emotions getting the best of you and you're starting to worry. And you're going to need to sing some songs and read some scripture, maybe as a family, to remind yourself that God is great and greatly to be praised. He's a God we can count on. My concluding verse today is Isaiah 64:4 about waiting on God. It says, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for Him. Who acts for those who wait for Him. God wants to show Himself strong on our behalf. He asks that we wait and rest in Him. Lord, thank You for Your word today and the truths that are contained in it. Thank You that You are a great and awesome God. Help us, Lord, as people struggling in the midst of this crazy virus, worn out sometimes, God, discouraged sometimes, God. Thank You, Lord, that in the midst of all of this, You are big enough. Lord, we need not fear. The one who holds the waters in the hollow of His hand also holds us. The one who, when He stretches out His hand, the universe would fit inside of it, holds us. Your sheep know Your voice and they follow You, and You give them eternal life, and no one is able to pluck them out of Your hand. Your Father, who is greater than all, gave them to You, and no one is able to pluck them out of Your Father's hand. May this truth that we are Yours, Lord, may it just resonate, may it take up residence in our heart and our life, no matter what. We love You today. We thank You that we have You to serve. Please, Lord, be merciful to us. Get us through this. Lord, get us through this. And help us to become more like Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Strength arises, we wait upon You.
Thanks for listening to God in Our City. If this program was a blessing to you, please tell a friend and encourage them to listen in to the next broadcast. Again, we would like to bless you with a tool to share Jesus Christ with your friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Our bundle of 10 evangelistic tracts is yours by simply calling us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Please remember, we are a listener-supported broadcast, and consider giving a gift when you call. You can also support us by going to calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. And clicking the donate button, where you'll find an option to support this ministry. Please don't miss our live Sunday morning broadcast, heard each week from 11:30 to 12:30, right here on AM 570, The Mission WMCA. In addition, we'd love to have you visit us in person. Calvary Chapel is located on the north shore of Staten Island at 30 Maple Parkway. Until next time, may our great God continue to richly bless you as you seek to serve Him.